We had one little lamb that would just play and play with us when we were kids. We had a cellar dug down in the ground, and it was built up with boards and all over the top of it, and then dirt clear over the top of it. And George and I would run around the house, and that little lamb would take out after us, just jumping in a blatant like a little lamb does. He'd follow us up onto that cellar, and then when we'd start off, he'd just come just jumping and just tearing right after us. We used to have more fun with those little lambs, son. They're sheer cute. When George and I was little, my grandfather had a lot of sheep. And in the springtime, when the ewes, in the lambing season, some of the ewes wouldn't claim their little lambs. And he'd give us little lambs to raise, you know. And we'd fix a nipple on a bottle and feed him the milk out of the bottle. And so one year we raised three or four of them. The next year, one of them was a buck sheep, and oh, he growed up and he had great big horns on his head. And the next spring, Grandpa gave us some little lambs, and George and I was out one morning feeding two or three of little lambs, and George was stooped over feeding this bottle feeding the little lamb with the bottle. And this buck sheep come around the house and seen him, and he just might have dived at him, hit him right in the seat of the pants, and just knocked him for a loop. And it made my dad mad. He said he wasn't going to have no such a sheep as that on the ranch and knocking us kids around, because in a way he could have hurt George real bad, you know, maybe broke a leg or an arm or... So he didn't do a thing but go in the house and get the gun and kill him, and we had some mutton. Well, when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was over to my grandfather and grandmother Jones's, and they were butchering hogs for their winter meat. They had killed one hog and put it in a barrel of hot water to get the hair all scraped off of it. And they took it out, and after they got it scalded, laid it on the table, and they took their knives and they scraped all of the hair off of it till it was all clean. Then they washed and rinsed it off a little bit, and they had two poles fixed up with a crossbar on it, and they hung this hog up by its hind feet. They split it from in between the hind legs clear down across the stomach into the throat of the head of the pig. Grandpa began taking all of those intestines, the liver and the heart and everything out. And I said to him, "Grandpa, what are you going to do with all of that that you're taking out of that pig?" He says, "Why, Ruthie, they make candy out of this." And I thought, make candy out of it? I don't want no more candy. And it was a long time before I'd even eat any candy. And Bess was the name of the pony that the children all learned to ride on. One winter there, it was cold, and we had that big log barn there on the ranch, and he left the door open, Leonard did, and let the horses to get in so they could feed, get their hay in the mangers. And they got to fighting, and she was kicking at the other horses, I guess, and kicked her leg through the barn and side of the wall, broke her leg all to pieces, and he had to take a gun and take her out and shoot her. He had to kill her.
And
that was a pony the children all learned to ride on. But I always had a nice saddle pony. I had one black mare that I used to ride. I had my side saddle. I had my little hat and my jacket, and I had a long riding skirt with a side saddle. They had those long black riding skirts. And I used to ride that pony so much. And if she'd get out in the pasture with the horses, she'd just run and run. And Dad would have trouble getting his horses all back to the barn to get them in the corral, to get them to work in the field with. And one time she started running and the other horses after, and she fell in one leg in a badger hole and broke her leg, and Dad had to kill her too. So that was two nice saddle ponies, one before I was married, one after, that we had to kill from getting their legs broke. Springtime, we never had only about 6 months of school for a while out there on the Clarkston Flat. School would be out the 1st of April instead of in 1st of May. And if Grandma had to have any help, she always wanted me. So I'd go over because I could peel potatoes and I could set the table. And I got so that I could make pies at that time. Mama taught me how, and I could help Grandma pretty good. So if she could get me, why, she was always knew she'd have help to cook for the bunch of men. But Grandpa had about between 1,000 and 1,500 sheep, and they'd take them every mountain in the mountains every summer. And they'd be a man to go up there and stay in camp, look after them, and then they'd have a camp tender would take up food and everything to him so much. And this fellow would always have him a gun and a dog. So they'd always put their sheep in the mountains every summer. I used to go over and help Grandma after I got big enough when they were cooking for sheep shears. And one time there was a fellow in a Soton, his name was Guy Shellman. He was working for Grandpa, and I was about 13, 14 years old. And the men were eating dinner that night, and they said, "Do you know it's getting almost the 1st of April? Says we better watch out or this little cook will do something to fool us on April Fool Day." And Guy Shellman says, "Well, she'll never fool me." He was about 18 years old. He says, "Nobody's never pulled nothing on me on April Fool's Day." Well, Dad came over to the house there because they didn't live too far. He said, "Ruth," he says, "it's almost April Fool's Day now." He says, "Why don't you get Grandma to let you make some jelly tarts and fool the men with them, put some cotton in them." So I told Grandma, and she thought it'd be fun for me to do that, and there was about five or six men working there. So I knew Mama had taught me how to make pie crust, and I made some jelly tarts. I made the two crusts. And then I put them together and put the jelly in them. So when I made the tarts, I made about a dozen of them, and I made three dozen altogether. And I put a dozen of them, and I put a little bit of cotton down where I put the two tarts together, one with a hole on the top and the other one was the solid cookie underneath. I put some cotton in there and the jelly on the top. Well, Guy wasn't there at dinner time. There was two of the men out in the field with the sheep. So when they sat down to eat dinner that day, Grandma's brother, Uncle Johnny Jones, was there. He was the first one through eating, and they didn't know I'd done anything. So they picked the tarts up and handed them around and handed them to Uncle Johnny, and he's the first one that took a bite. When he did, that cotton began to pull out. they just laughed. They got the biggest kick out of that. He pulled that cotton out, and he ate it anyway. So they said, "Now tonight," says, "now listen, don't you say nothing, and we'll all of us eat real slow. and just get to talking. And he says, we're going to see if we can fool Guy. So they all sat there in the eight, and when they seen Guy was they said, well, so I guess we better have some tarts. And I put the same plate on. And they passed them around, and he took one. He just kind of sat there, you know, for a little bit, and Guy took the first bite. And last, those guys said, I thought you said that the cute little cook couldn't fool you, nobody ever had. He says, well, that's the first time anybody's ever fooled me on April Fool's Day. And they sure did kid him.